Hey, what is up, everybody? This is Rob Rivera.
And this is Rob Rucha.
And you're listening to the Robcast Podcast.
So welcome back to the Robcast Podcast Season 2, Episode 9. It's kind of quiet and lonely in here because I'm missing a certain Rob. So I'm going to wake him up because he's out on the road. And we're going to do this remote recording of the Robcast Podcast. All right, we're calling him. Let's see if this works. Come on, Rivera.
Ooh.
Hello.
Hello.
You were coming in hot there.
What's that?
I said your voice was coming in hot.
Oh, sorry. All right, I'm going to go into the dressing room.
All right, go into the dressing room.
I got 22% on the phone. Hopefully it'll work. All right.
So you're at Pops already?
I am, yeah. We loaded in.
Nice.
Let me know when we're starting.
Oh, we're on. I mean, I did my little lonely introduction. Then I'm gonna have to edit that, but it's fine. I mean, the FaceTime thing rang forever, and I'm just sitting here.
Okay.
Like, okay.
All right. Yeah, we're at Pops, and I was just doing some MacGyvering last night. You know how I do my jumps on the seat?
Yeah.
I jumped in the end part of Fix This. I broke my seat. So my seat, for the first time in my career, my seat broke on one of my jumps.
Oh, man.
And I landed on the edge of it.
Oh, so it wasn't
so
square.
So it kind of snapped. So Mr. Roy Mayorga of Stone Sour was kind enough to lend me his backup seat.
Nice.
For the rest of the set. So here at Pops, I was going to go to Guitar Center, but what I did was I ordered two of those same seats that Roy lent me.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm going to have two of those when I get home. So I took a bar stool here.
Yeah.
I sawed off the legs. The bottom. So I'm using the bar stool without the legs on the bottom. It's just a round base.
Huh.
So that's going to be my drum seat for the show tonight.
Well, this is a headlining night, so you guys don't have anyone really to give you a backup seat.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can ask one of the locals if I can use their seat.
Yeah.
But for now, I'm going to use that, at least for sound check and stuff. And then we'll figure it out. But if not, that seat's coming with me.
Yeah.
And I'm going to keep it at the storage unit, too. So
you have yourself a backup.
Yeah, no, people can sit down.
Oh, yeah.
They want to sit down. There it is.
Well, that was cool of them.
So, yeah, we're out here on the – we played three shows with Hell Yeah. We started in Greenville, then played in a sick, sick show in Cincinnati, and then last night in Peoria. All three shows have been great. I can't complain. Touring with Hell Yeah, it's just been amazing. Great touring partners, family, brothers. I mean, we've been friends with Chad for, God, almost from his entire career, from Mudvayne to now. So we've been friends with him. So it's really cool to be out with family. And
well, and this is also like a weird thing in 2019. It seems to be the year of Nonpoint going out at least twice with bands, like POD two times, Hell Yeah two times.
Yeah, I mean, this cycle has been really, really cool. I mean, we did that tour of Butcher Babies, but the record wasn't really out.
Yeah.
So I don't think that part of the tour was considered part of the cycle. I think it actually started with our headline run with He Is Legend and Letters from the Fire. Then we were able to have two amazing tours of POD.
Yeah, Full Circle 1 and 2.
Yeah, and now two amazing tours where we just got started the second leg, but where we're going, many of the shows have already sold out, and it's just going to be amazing. And we did a tour with Head PE in Australia. So this cycle has been probably one of my favorites since To the Pain and To the Pain record cycle. It's been really cool. I'm very happy. And also, not only are we celebrating the life and legacy of Vinnie Paul, but we are debuting our newest band member, Jason Zylstra.
I was just going to say that. This has also been a year of some change for you guys. You had Aru from El Nino out with you filling in on the last run with Hell Yeah. Or not Hell, was it? Yeah, with Hell Yeah.
No, it was the headline.
Yes. Rue filled in for the headlining tour, and then you guys got Jason, which is a Chicago local, and you know, back in the old school world of the same, you know, same school that I came from, and Rashid and Adam, and so it seems like a nice placement there.
Yeah, he's got a pretty good resume. We found him through our manager, Frank, who actually sent me a screenshot of his Facebook page. And I said, well, at least he looks the part right now.
Yeah, that's another one, too.
Yeah, he looked the part. And as soon as Rashid, I told him about him, he said, dude, that guy can play some guitar. But the most insane thing about this whole situation is, we introduced him as a band member. So he's the newest member of Nonpoint and hopefully the last one.
Yeah.
And, you know, because anybody that knows us knows we've had quite a few guitar changes. And, you know, the only spot that has never changed is myself and Elias, and the bass spot changing only once.
Mm-hmm.
And but the guitar player's position has been quite the challenge, going from Andy to Zach to Dave to BC to now Jason. And then we've had Aru and Phil and this kid named Will Jarvis fill in for us sporadically.
Yeah.
Because of commitments of other people, and then Aru because BC decided to step down and from the music business to spend more time with his family,
right?
Which is completely understandable and respected, you know, by all of us.
Yeah.
The most insane part about Jason is when I initially started talking to him, he told me that he could not play solos at all.
Yeah, he was more of a rhythm guitar player.
Which kind of was a deal breaker, because obviously BC being in the band, he was very prominent in having lead guitar in our songs, and songs like basically like Milestones and Wheel Against Wheel, Dodge, Chaos, and Fix This, which we play live still.
Mm-hmm.
And even when we play Empty Batteries and a song like Paralyzed that we've played as well too, has got a lot of prominent guitar, either sauce,
yeah,
that we used to call the BC sauce, or solos. And when this situation was presented to Jason, he said, you know, I really don't solo. I said, okay, man, I appreciate talking to you. But he was very determined, and I remember seeing a post that he said, you know, sometimes an opportunity presents itself and you have to take it. So he immediately started taking guitar lessons. So as of 2 or 3 months ago, the guy did not play solos.
And now he's ripping solos.
Now he's ripping solos, at least the solos that were written for these songs. I mean, he's got them 90% almost note for note. But, you know, we told him, you know, hey, you don't have to do them exactly alike. Stay in key. Play the key parts of the solo. But he's almost got them note for note, which blows my mind.
When you guys came in here to rehearse and warm up with him prior to even announcing it, and that's just, you know, you guys trying to make sure what you were doing was, you know, a right change. His right hand, I couldn't believe how fast he was and how accurate he played with what Rashid was playing and how interchangeable their right hands were, you know, and that's amazing.
Yeah, I remember you playing the drum tracks, just the stems of the drum tracks so they can play along to. Then the rest of the songs, they just played along to a click with no drums.
Yeah. And they were tight.
Flawless. Mm-hmm. I was like, what the fuck is going on here? How is this even possible?
You've said that it just sounds like one giant guitar, you know, and that's
yeah, and then when great. We went to Fort Knox to play and Elias came into town and we're like, oh, holy fuck. And Elias looks at me like, this is the guy.
Yeah.
You know, like he said it kind of like under his breath. And I was like, I said, it sounds like one giant guitar. I couldn't tell any... Not that it never sounded great before, but I'd never heard it quite that tight,
mm-hmm,
where both hands were doing exactly the same thing. And I know that a lot of it comes that, you know, Jason and Rashid come from the same exact school,
yeah,
of guitar playing. And people ask me, like, and I don't want to say this, I'm not trying to blow anything up anybody's ass, but it's like having two James Hetfields in the band,
mm-hmm,
like two prominent. You know, usually there's always the one prominent rhythm player. Then the lead player, he's good at the rhythm, but the other guy is the more tight guy. You know, like and basically like James Hetfield, he's the tight rhythm player. When Kirk's more concentrated on the leads. So it was you know, really cool to see like when I was watching both of them and seeing their right hands, I'm like, oh my God, they're like picking exactly the same way.
And it was like a blur of hand. Like they're so Dodger Destiny, like they're both as fast, you know, like playing it.
Right now, three shows in. The first show, he was getting his feet wet. And the second show in Cincinnati, he got more loose. And last night, he just went off on stage.
Yeah, I'm sure he's more comfortable now.
Yeah, he was fucking doing his thing. And he's really, really enjoying it. And especially like the 361 community, like that they have embraced him. And just Jason's just truly a nice guy. Like, he's kind of like Rasheed and Adam, really good. You know, that just, it's really hard to meet people like that. Just like yeah. people like you too. If there's something about the Chicago scene, like a guy like Dan Donegan, who has had this insane amount of success.
Oh yeah.
But he's still one of the most humblest, down to earth, non-egotistical people I have ever met. And that's gotta be a Chicago thing. It seems like everybody that I've met in the Chicago scene from that era, it's like that. Like
that was how the scene was back then. Is we didn't play against each other. Everybody played together in shows. You'd put together the bills like Disturbed and From Zero and Crash Poet, Rashid's first band. Like that. When you got to a point where you could pull enough people, you got to book your own shows. And we would just do that with our friends' bands because it was fun to play shows with them. And everybody remembers where they came from. And that's something you don't get from anywhere else, I think.
And also, like, Billy Kay, you know,
same thing.
Like, he, like, same, a super nice guy. Like, I've seen a lot of his friends, Jason's friends on his Facebook page, like congratulating him. It's all people from the scene.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, it's like one giant family here, you know. And it's really, really cool to see. And I'm just happy that we have an all Chicago lineup again, you know, and even like Dave Lizzio was another guy that was super cool as well.
Yeah.
You know, loved by everyone. He loved everybody, you know, and super happy to have everybody so close. Like we can all get together whenever we want. Like nobody, like Elias is only a couple hours away in Michigan and everybody else, like Jason lives literally like 20 minutes from my house. Like I said, the rehearsals were like, man, I was just all smiles. And we got off stage, like, in Cincinnati, and he came to the dressing room, and he said, wow, that did not suck.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like he just came off so happy. And last night, his family was there.
Yeah.
You know, his kids were there watching him perform, and they were super proud of him. And it was really cool, man. It's been nothing but smiles and so far. Early in the tour still, but, you know, I think as time goes along, we're definitely excited to continue with him and to write with him. I've already heard some new riffs that he has written, like just him fiddling around in the dressing room with his guitar. And I'm like, okay, this guy's going to bring something to the table, you know? So I'm definitely excited for sure, man.
Well, and I mean, that takes me to, you know, a question that what you guys had gone into preparing for the tour. And like you were just saying, you know, getting a new member especially would be even more preparation necessary for this tour, which it seemed Jason was doing a lot of that on his own while you guys were on little rest period. But then you guys got together as it got closer to the tour. So what kind of things do you do like to prep for tour, regardless of who's in the band?
Well, for me, I mean, one of the things, most important things that I make sure is that all my bills are paid before I leave, you know, to make sure that everything on the home front is taken care of, whether it be my family, you know, my kids, you know, my rent, anything that has to go on. I make sure all that, like I leave home with a paid off credit card. I do all the responsible adult, everyday adult life things.
All your affairs in order.
Yeah. Get everything in order. I think it's important for anybody who basically, you know, who has mortgages and all that stuff. But I'm sure that's everybody does these kind of things, you know, so it's not like I'm the only one that does it, but that's one of the part of the preparation. I prepare myself mentally that I know that I am, a lot older these days, you know, and a lot, you know, each year, you know, I'm gaining, you know, gaining those miles in the age department. So I got to make sure that I'm prepared mentally and physically for the tour because this tour is a little longer than the first one.
Right.
I think it's longer by 2 weeks, a little bit, you know, it's almost a 6 week run.
Well, and you also have some headlining dates in there that you're like tonight.
And yeah, tonight we only got three headlining shows. It's tonight at Pops in Sauget outside of St. Louis. And we got a headline show in Reno and a headline show in El Paso, which is actually the last date of this run. And then all the other ones are all Hell Yeah shows. And we got 5 dates in Canada. And, you know, we have to prepare ourselves also for the weather.
Right.
You know, and make sure nobody gets sick. You know, get your gloves, your hat, get everything in order to...
So you have to pack, like, for warm weather, for cold weather, for all the different... Because you're all over the
pretty
place.
Pretty much. You pack medicines, you know, your vitamins. Like I said, we're not in our 30s anymore. We're not... When we first started, it didn't matter. You know, we never got sick. But as you get older, your body changes. You have to change your eating habits, your lifestyle to, you know, I've seen, like, a lot of people at this age, they do a lot of workout. Like, Chad, he lifts weights, you know, and, like... Right. So you get older, you want to stay in shape. You know, you got to keep up with the rigors of touring. Like John Connolly from Seven Dust, when we talk to him, he does all the cycling and the swimming.
Right.
And he's in his 50s now. You got to stay active. The same thing with Clint Lowry. He does a lot of the CrossFit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not spring chickens anymore, man. We have to do these things, eat healthier to continue to put on the show that we did 20 years ago.
Right. And that's something that has to stay consistent because people think of Nonpoint as that, like great energy on stage. And you can't have energy on stage if you're not fueling properly.
Yeah. And also you got to make sure that when you're entering the tour situation, where you're living on the bus, knowing, going in there mentally, who are you going to work with, knowing what to expect, knowing what, like some of the crew people that you work with, how they react to things, you know. And we try to, you know, we all kid around with everybody and we have fun with everyone. You know, I don't really snap on anybody on our crew. That just makes them work a little less, you know, if you come at them hard, you know. So,
well, in this crew, now you have on this run, it's like old friends, but they're still really good, you know, crew members too, like Dustin and Justin. And
yeah, Sweet Tea. We got Lunch Meat out here.
Lunch Meat. Know, and
DJ Cold Cuts.
Oh, DJ Cold Cuts. That's right.
You know, we have Dustin has been, you know, out with us before, you know, many times, and he knows our sound just like Justin knows what we do. We got this kid named Darren, who actually was our guitar tech. He's now my drum tech on this tour.
Right.
And he's really doing a killer job. We have Allie doing merch, TM and lights. So she's doing a triple threat. And hopefully Francesca's not out with us right now. We're going to see her in Toronto. She may be joining us in Madison till the end of the run.
Yeah.
She'll be still for a good portion of the tour to get all the content we need and all this other stuff. So, yeah, so, I mean, we got to prepare ourselves mentally for every single aspect of the tour, dealing with the driver, you know, being able to sleep, find a fucking bathroom in the morning, you know, like every day is a different scenario for you, you know, like this morning I got here to Pops and I didn't realize this place opened 24 hours a day.
No way.
And I got here at 8, we got here at 8, I had to use the bathroom. I had to go to the front door. And they were still checking people in the door. There was a party going on here.
Oh,
still.
My God.
Like a hip-hop party and people dancing from the night. You know, they were still here.
Wow.
So it was like, oh, my God, what the hell is going on? I've never seen a party at a venue at 8:30 in the morning.
Pops has been around forever. I mean, From Zero played there back in 2001. You guys used to play there way back in the day. You always
yeah,
have been
we haven't
there.
We haven't played here in a long time. So it's been a while. So yeah, I mean, like I said, so far, like it's been cool. Jason has absolutely crushed it. First night he had a couple flubs here and there, but that's to be expected. You know, when any guitar player that we had had all of them had those flubs in the beginning. You know, so. Until they became comfortable. But right now, like when we rehearsed with him at like Fort Knox, it honestly felt like he had been playing with us forever. Like it was so weird to see how quickly he adjusted to the style of Nonpoint. But the best part is that the style of Nonpoint is his style. You know, it's stuff that he played, you know, stuff he's familiar with. And then it's funny, he told me a story that he saw me and my family at the Brookfield Zoo. He was with his family. I had no clue. So, yeah, I saw you at the Brookfield Zoo once. I talked to you. I had no idea.
Huh.
I don't think he had the dreads then. Then he came to our show with He Is Legend and Letters from the Fire at Bottom Lounge.
Mm-hmm.
He's a massive He Is Legend fan and also a massive Nonpoint fan. So this this opportunity for him, you know, became a really, really good situation for him. So I'm really excited, man, about this new chapter. Hopefully this is the last chapter. You know, like I said, we've had our share of guitar players for one reason or another. You know, they're either not here or they had to be let go, whatever, you know. It is what it is. But Jason has definitely brought a cool Chicago vibe to the situation. The cool thing is he knew everybody already. He knows Rashid from way back. I don't know how familiar he is with Adam, but I don't know if Adam was really part of that scene, like, back in the day.
Well, I think that Jason and Rashid had been in, stayed in contact throughout the years, even when In Cinema was going around, which Adam was in. So I'm sure that their paths had crossed because it's that same that same world and that same scene, and a lot of the bands that played together. And you know, Jason has been in multiple bands throughout the years in Chicago, so I'm sure their paths have crossed.
Yeah, and also, like, when he came to the Forge and he came down to the dressing room, him and Rashid were talking about a lot of old school stuff. So I could tell there was a huge connection there. They were talking about tons of people that I've never met yet, you know, so.
Yeah, they have similar friend circles.
Yeah, so I'm excited about playing locally with Jason. Guys, I think him being in the band is going to definitely improve our Chicago situation. Not that it's bad. I love our Chicago fan base. We have a great fan base.
It's getting bigger with another member that's from here, that's for sure.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm really excited about all this. I'm excited about going to the studio and doing this whole thing. Excited about jamming with him, jamming with you again, you know, like getting all this music writing done. And I think it's going to be, I mean, so far from what I've heard musically that we've done together, even when we got together, me and you and Rashid, and then what I've heard Rashid do. And now Fred is definitely involved again. He's already given notes to new songs.
Yeah, he and I have been in touch this past week about some ideas that we're going to do too.
So I'm very excited about having that whole situation of the whole same past situation we just had with X. We're going to do it again, having you at the helm with Fred, having Jason play guitar. I'm excited to hear, like, the two of them record. That's good. Like I said, it's going to sound like who's who, you know, playing, you know. It's going to be great, man. I'm so stoked and definitely excited to be going to the studio and preparing ourselves to get into the studio.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you, too, is part of this episode is the differences of what you've done now. You've talked preparing for a tour. What's the difference between preparing for something like a tour or preparing for the studio, besides the songwriting process, which I'm sure everybody knows is a big deal?
You have to enter. First, you got to enter the studio with a very open mind. That's the first thing. You can't be married to demos. Like, that's the one big thing that we've Nonpoint's gone through this a lot. The demoitis. You know, and that itis is sucks when it comes, because there's sometimes some drums get programmed that were not programmed by me and Elias, like, sing something, and I never got a time to really do it. So he gets, you know, in his head that the drums are like that. You know, sometimes I get in my head the drums are like that. So, you know, everybody has to have an open mind with the vocals, with the guitar, everything. Anything could change, which is the best part of having Fred in this situation.
Sure.
And I was excited to get back to that Fred, you, and hopefully Howie again. And, you know, I think it's going to be a great process. I think, you know, you have to, like I said, you have to go in there with an open mind. You have to go in there that sometimes you're going to get into a block. There's a possibility that your mind, the simplest thing that you just can't do. And that has happened to me on drums. We're like, why can't I get this? It sounds so simple, but I can't transfer what's in my brain to my hands and my feet. And that has happened to me quite a bit in the studio. And it's also frustrating when you're against the fucking clock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you kind of settle for something that sucks, but it got you by, you know, and I don't want to do that, you know, but having Fred there, I worked so well with him. Like, honestly, like the last recording, I don't think there was one argument.
No, there was no blocks like we talked about in the episode.
Yeah, we worked so good together. So, you know, I think, you know, you have to also prepare yourself understanding your bandmates, their strengths and their weaknesses. You have to understand everything. Like me, I'm a groove player. I can't play, don't expect me to play something technical because that's not the drummer that I am.
Right.
You know, I can play somewhat technical, but I'm not going to be playing any Dream Theaters type of stuff. That's, you know, way out of my wheelhouse and out of my league. You know, I can groove. I want people's heads to bop. You know, I want their movement. Like when we put like Milestones, like last night, that song came out so fucking good because it just has that groove. And you can see in the crowd, I looked on the crowd, everybody's head was moving at the same time.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like that's one of the simplest songs that we have ever written.
Oh, I know.
And it turned out to be one of the live favorites. And honestly, it's the vocals made it all. It brought it all home. And that's what I want with new music. Like Elias really took that song and made it something where it was so much fun to me. And even Pete King, drum tech for Hell Yeah, he told me about that song. I said, dude, you were having so much fun playing that track. I said, dude, it's just when there's something simple, I can move my arms around. I can get into that groove. And that's what I want. I want to entertain playing, but I also want it to sound solid, you know? And yeah. So it was really good. And like I said, Jason kills the solo on that track. Like nice. he plays that one note for fucking note.
And that's a pretty weird solo too. It's not like a run or a riff. It's just like feel.
Yeah. It's like parts.
Yeah. It's just feel, nasty, you know? Like it's got a real nasty feel.
The whole song is like when Elias introduced it, said, who wants to get nasty?
It is a nasty song.
The bass line, I mean, that's one of the probably top five bass lines that we've had in this band, you know, and what I loved how me and you and Rashid just put that together one day out of the fucking blue.
Old ass balls.
Old ass balls. That was the title. But, you know, like I said, you got to prepare yourself mentally, physically in the studio. You got to go with the open mind. You got to sit and understand your producer. Make sure your producer understands you. Make sure your engineer understands you.
Yeah.
Like you got to go in there knowing that, you know, things are going to get better. But the thing is, like I said on the last podcast with Fred, like when we first heard Milestones without a mix or nothing, just a fucking whatever, it sounded massive.
That's when you know what you've got, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that situation put me at ease. And going into this situation with Fred and you, and I think I'm sure Howie will do it again. You know, and I'm like so at peace knowing that I'm entering a situation. Like I said, we go to Uptown. It feels like home to me. Like I would go there every day if I could, just because I love the vibe in the place. I love sitting there. I love watching you work.
Yeah.
You know, I love watching you create. I love watching you do maintenance and do, you know, like fixing shit. When stuff goes down, I love your fucking just work ethic of figuring out how to fucking fix it.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think, you know, that's one of the best things about working with you, besides being a fantastic bass player and an awesome rhythm partner to me, and being able to understand, like I saw how me and you clicked within fucking 10 minutes of playing with each other. It was mind-blowing. But I love the way you work in that studio.
Well, and that's the one thing I wanted to talk to Fred about when we were doing the Fred episode, but I didn't even think about it. There was not a single technical glitch preventing us from moving forward during the process. Like that could stop a record in a heartbeat. All of a sudden Pro Tools crashes and you lose your track.
And the best part, honestly, even though it sucks to record in the winter, it absolutely blows driving up there in snow. But dude, I think it's the best time because we have to work.
That's what Fred said, yeah.
Yeah, we can't go outside and go, oh, let's go for a walk. It's too fucking cold to go out for a walk. Let's stay in here working. It's just like the vibe in that studio. You've created a vibe at Uptown that I've not had anywhere else. You know, but I'll say I love working at Groovemaster. I love working at Beeler Brothers Studios in Pompano Beach, Florida. I had a great experience working there, and I had a great experience working in Racine. I've learned something. At every single studio, I've learned something that I have, you know, I have installed into me to work.
Yeah.
You know, like working with Daniel was great. Daniel Salcido, great engineer. Working with Wisco Chris, we call him Chris Wisco, and Racine was great. Working with Jason Beeler was great. With Matt LaPlante was great. Andy was great at the boards. But with you, it's been a different, like, you make it like, you know how I hated recording.
Yeah.
And when I went into Uptown, that whole feeling changed. Because you made it feel like a family. You made it feel like home. I love that I've been able to stay upstairs. I feel completely comfortable up there.
You don't have to even see outside when you're here, you know?
Like, yeah, I mean, I just love that, you know, I love the studio dog. She's awesome. You know, like, it just brings, everything brings, when I walk in there, honestly, I feel at home. I really do feel at home. And I think Fred really felt that way as well. You know, and I think everybody that's worked with us has felt really good in that studio.
Yeah. Well, and it gets good results. I mean, the two records we've done here have been great.
You know, and your leadership, you know, that reflects on all of us. You know, like, we see your leadership in the studio, how you take care of that place, like how hands-on. I mean, it'd be killer if you had an assistant, but the
Well, I had Slave on Poison Red. we had him.
Yeah, he gone.
I don't know where he is.
You have your regular clients that come in there. So, I mean, anybody listening to this, you're in Chicago, go to Uptown and let Rob take care of you. You know, like, it's just a great place, man. I just can't envision myself going to any other studio. So.
No, well, we'll be here as long as we've got clients, which, I mean, I've got so many that want to keep coming back like you guys, so it helps. I had Rob's Gallon in this past week.
And also your mobile rig, man.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we can record anywhere. That's the best part about another advantage of having you. You can come to our practice facility and set up, and we can do demos there. Like I said, there's so many advantages. There's so many win-win situations when it comes to you. I mean, not only the bass playing, engineering, you can go remotely. We can do a podcast there. You know, as like we're doing right now, you know, second season. Like, I didn't even envision having a second season.
And this is the ninth episode of our second season.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is, it's been, like I said, just having you entering Nonpoint's life has been nothing but 100% positive. So and we want to continue that route. Like, I'm able to just call you out of the blue. Hey, how you doing? You know, you've been there as a friend as well, you know, so I value all that.
That's why it made sense to do this podcast.
Yeah, sometimes a little wacko. I get a little wacko, but that's just part of me. That's who I am, you know. That's who I am. People have expect that from me, but, you know, I'm not going to let you down, you know. So.
No, you're a man of your word. That's one thing. I mean, when we decided to start this podcast, I thought, you know.
I mean, it's been frustrating to get guests on this time around.
Not really. You know, we've had some pretty good ones, and we got more.
But, yeah, we got some more coming.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, a lot of people out there are going to look forward to what's coming from you guys. And,
yeah,
you know, the next, you know, 6 to 8 months is going to be a huge bunch of fun.
Like, yeah, it's going to be a lot of changes, you know, for us professionally. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see where this goes. We have, like I said, an insane, amazing fan base. And now Jason is seeing that fan base.
Yeah, I don't think he could have been prepared for that, really. I wondered that. I'm like, 361 is such a great community of people, and of course they're going to welcome him in, but I don't think he knew exactly how deep it is.
Yeah, it's like 361 community, honestly, it's like one of the best. The 361 All Things Nonpoint Facebook group, whoever's not a part of it, if you're a fan of Nonpoint, I encourage you to join this group, because you'll never find a more pay it forward type of community. We have some people on there they're not just amazing to us, but they're amazing to the other members of the group.
Oh, everyone.
They help.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't get a ticket? Let me help you out. Can't get a shirt? I'll pick one up for you. You want a copy of the CD? I'll get you a copy of the CD. You want, it's like they bring it, like there's people that met each other that found love.
Yep. Engagements have happened.
Engagements have happened, you know, yep. And there's also, you know, they bring us food. You know, it's like they give us these gifts, and it's like it's insane. It's I can't be more thankful for our fans, man. They're one special group, you know, and like I said, there's almost 16,000 members on that thing.
I know, it's getting there. Yeah.
It's almost close. So it's really exciting. And I'm very excited about the future and of Nonpoint and entering this new chapter in our lives. And hopefully this is the final chapter, the final page of the book. We hopefully don't have to turn another page again. But we understand that, you know, previous situations, things happen, you know, and not, you know, my whole vision of Nonpoint was for us to have the OG lineup of Andy, Ken, Glass, and myself be the only lineup. You know, that was the goal. Not many bands can say that, you know, and unfortunately it didn't turn out to be that way, but I am,
No, but Nonpoint has become like its own entity now. So as long as there's some core established thing like you and Elias never changing, as long as the members that come in fit that Nonpoint thing, which you've done really well with finding people to do that, then I think it can survive for, you know, another 20 years.
Yeah, and Elias has said to me himself, and I've said to him, if I'm not involved, he's not going to continue.
Yeah, it's you guys. If
he's not involved, I'm not going to continue. I can't envision myself playing with another singer in this band.
No.
I mean, it's just because me and him, we've been at it for so long. You know, he's the voice. He's the front man, you know, and I've been the backbone and the backbeat. And there's been some times where I've doubted a lot of stuff and I put myself in this mental space, like, you know, am I going to be able to continue to do this? But he said himself, even recently, that without you, I can't do this. I will not do this without you. Makes me feel really good. He values what I bring, and you know, we're just partners. We lock each other in our heads, like, hey, we're going to do this together, and we're excited. I said we're excited for the future. We're excited that you're involved. Excited like guys like Sean Reiner and 361, that whole community, you know, our fans on Facebook, Instagram is growing. A person like Francesca, you know, has been extremely helpful. Like a guy like Angel was really good to have out with us. He brought a lot of, you know, positivity and stuff. So we're excited for our future for sure.
Well, and also you've got to get geared up for sound check and all that stuff because it's starting to get to that time.
Yeah, it's 11:44 in the morning. We got time.
Oh, well, there you go.
So our loading was at 10, which is weird.
Weird, but the club's open 24/7, so it's not like you have to wait for somebody.
Yeah, there's some things we need to fix too with our stuff, so
yeah,
it's good to have that extra time. But anyway, yeah, thank you for calling me and having me as a guest.
Well, it's the Robin.
I feel like the guest because I'm not there.
I know. I feel so alone here. I think Lacey's next to me, so at least I got the dog.
Oh, good, good. She's always part of the podcast. Yeah. She just never talks.
No, she's a silent partner.
And we got many announcements coming, and yeah, it's all exciting. So anyway, on that note, thank you, Rob, for speaking with me.
Oh, thank you, Rob, for podcasting from remote locations.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll do this, me and you, again next week, or hopefully we'll have a guest.
No, well, I'm gonna be out in the next week to record you guys, so we'll do one on location.
All right, sounds good, buddy.
All right, man, take care. I'll talk to you.
Later, buddy.
Bye.
We want to thank all of you for listening to the Robcast podcast. Be sure and subscribe to get notified on all future episodes. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Robcast Podcast, and feel free to send us any comments, suggestions, guest ideas, topics, whatever. That is robcastpodcast@gmail.com. Enjoy your day.